Amen. Praise the Lord. Great job, ladies. Great job. Excellent. Excellent. Sing it with me as we get started. Sing with me here. Down at the cross where my Savior died. Down away from cleansing. And there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. And glory to His name. And there to my heart was the blood applied.
Glory to His name.
Boy, that's good. And I am so wondrously safe from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His name. Sing to the Lord now. Glory to His name. All glory to His
name.
There to my heart was the blood. Yes.
Glory to His name.
Nothing like it. I try to imagine how many people, John in Revelation said there's thousands and thousands of thousands. You can imagine what it's like in heaven. We're going through on Wednesday nights teaching about that place called heaven. Tried to figure out how loud it's going to be in heaven. I was joking with Pastor. We came on the platform. I said, I need to start a hashtag, only at Hiles Anderson. There's just some things that only happen here. And I'm thinking about the noise, Brother Drew, how loud it's going to be in heaven. Seattle Seahawks were on a third down defensive stance. It's a very loud place to play. I can't stand them. But they showed the decibel reading was 136.7, I think it was, of the noise. A jet is 144, I think. That's loud. You think about all the people in heaven, the singing, the shouting, the praising. I mean, just rejoicing about being saved. It's good to be a believer, isn't it? Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, college. It's good to see so many folks that I had the privilege, and I don't have fond memories. I have wonderful memories. Greatest people in the world to serve with here at Hiles Anderson, and a joy. And to see people all across the country as you preach and go about, and folks that I had the privilege of serving together in classes and teaching and going sowing and with, and to see them out serving the Lord. And it'll be that quick. You're going to be out of here, and you're going to be on that mission field, that evangelistic trail, that pastorate, that classroom, whatever it is God has for you. I mean, run towards the will of God as fast as you can, and don't let anything detour you, and you'll be the happiest person on the planet. I promise you that. Brother Anthony, thank you for the good song leading. I'm having flashbacks of Doc Evans, and I was walking around today and went by his office. He's not there. But I went by the office. He's down there in Florida, and I sure love Doc. He, oh my goodness, so many fond memories of him, and he would egg me on. It was his fault for a lot of the mess I did in chapel. I don't know how many times when he was here, we'd walk down the hallway, "Brother Gray, are you going to like run the aisle today? Are you going to, what are you going to do today?" And I was like, "You know, Doc, you're not helping me, okay? I'm getting in trouble on my own as it is. I don't need any encouragement." But my mom was his secretary years ago, and the first time I came to Hiles Anderson, I was 2. I was the youngest student here. But my dad had graduated from Michigan State University and was working at General Motors, long story, when he got called to serve the Lord. And he asked Dr. John Rice at that time, "What should I do?" And he said, "You know, my friend is fixing to start a Bible college in Crown Point, Indiana. I think you ought to go there." And so that's why we came here. And Dad had already graduated from college. Like I said, had a good job there and gave it all up to come to a college again. And this time he came to college with 4 kids, a wife, and a dog. And so I think we sold the dog, but we came here, and from ages 2 to 4, I do remember Doc Evans walking me by the back of my neck to my mom's office, said, "You need to take care of this kid." And me and my friend Stevie Meister just loved, before they carpeted the hallways, they were real slick, and if you catch it just right, you could slide a while. And we would have a good time, but it kind of interrupted the office work. I don't get it. And when I came back to teach, Brother Teft and I would run down the hall. No, I'm just kidding, but it was good. We enjoyed it thoroughly. And just a lot of memories, good memories, and I appreciate it. Matter of fact, I was in the student, I'm trying to think what you call it, the rec center. Is that right? And went in there and took pictures of the foosball table. For the record, Brother Teft and I are undefeated. And so I shot him a text, said, "We ought to come back and have a 3-day tournament and just taking on all comers." Amen. But anyway, we don't do a lot of soul winning or Bible study, but we play a lot of foosball, let me tell you that. It's our ministry, just want to serve the Lord. Amen. Brother Jordan, I got to see you before the service, and Rebecca is her 15th birthday. And happy birthday, girl. I know she's like, "Please stop talking to me, and could you look away?" But happy birthday, and thank you so much. Matthew chapter 5, if you have your Bibles, we'll get right into the message today. Thank you, young people, for your faithfulness. Thank you for listening to your pastor or your youth pastor or whoever it was that maybe you sat down with and said, "Here's my desire, here's my dream, here's what I believe God would have me to do. What do I do now?" And somebody gave you some counsel, somebody gave you some help, and I'm so excited that you listened. And I agree with Pastor 100%. Stay the course. Most of the life is a mundane. Many people can't handle that. But if you can handle that, you'll do well in the good days and the bad days. And just stay faithful. Stay in the Word, and that's what we're going to talk about today. And I'll tell you, that little 2 or 3 minute message there that he gave about getting involved in things that you may not, "I'm not sure if I like that or like that." Let me tell you, people that ministry is looking for, you need to have a repertoire of everything in there. Learn sports if you don't like it. I agree with that. And it's easy for me to say that because I love sports. I disagree with this other statement, but I love sports. But no, find a way. Amen. And if you go trick-or-treating as an adult, you're just weird, okay? So let me just say that, all right? I'll help you with that one. In North Carolina, if a college student shows up on my porch dressed up, "Trick-or-treat," okay, that's not going to be good, okay? And so get out of here, you weirdo. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. I'm dressed up as a Christian, trick-or-treat, David. Matthew 5, verse 6. Let's read it together. Ready? "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst, for they..." Father in heaven, I love you and I need your touch. Lord, I thank you for the spirit that's here. And Lord, I don't want to preach just to please man. God, I want to preach to please you. Lord, I have failed you time and time again, and I'm so sorry. But I'm so thankful that your mercies are new every day. And I'm so thankful for grace. Lord, you're so good. Would you bless this time we have together? If this were our last time to open up the Word together and to look in it, may we take everything we can out of this hour. I love you. I need you. Hide me behind the cross. Be with Jenny and the family back at the house, please. In your precious name I pray, Lord, I love you. Amen. I want to talk about this subject, the fullness of hunger. The fullness of hunger. We've been going through these Beatitudes at the church on Sunday morning, and this is very recent. This was message 4 of that series, and just the Lord kept bringing back to my heart about this hour. Yesterday, we talked about going to get God. And I encourage you to be that one that when someone needs God, that you're that one that says, I'll go get him for you. And I'm not looking to get him to get a platform or to autograph something. I know how to get God, and I'll go get him for you. There's going to be that time, as the email I received yesterday morning about a dear now widow that said, what do I do? Somebody has to be there to go get God. And sir, ma'am, you be that one. While you're on your journey to go get God, we have to remind ourselves that every day you live, people are going to spend their time taking from you. Very few times are you going to have someone in your life walk up and give to you. The majority of the time, my dad would always describe it like this: Scott, when you wake up in the morning, you're a battery and everyone's just going to clamp on and they're going to drain you dry. That is why you have to have a consistent walk in the Word of God. That's why you must spend time with the Lord. And evening and morning and noon, David said, well, I pray. I believe every day you ought to start your day with instruction. God, help me. What do I need? Which way do I turn? I just want to follow you. And every evening, end the day with correction. God, is there anywhere that I did not please you? Is there anything that I need to do better? And if we'll just have humility as such an attribute and that we need in the Christian life, but if we are to be able to get God at any moment, let us remember that the Bible reminds us that the just shall live by faith. Be careful not to be event faith Christians. We wait for the youth conference, we wait for the youth camp, we wait for the revival, we wait for the Bible conference, we wait for the mission conference, and we're event faith. We wait for next Sunday. I don't need God right now. It's just, you know, it's Thursday. I'm good on Thursday. I've got this and this and this. And I get it. We get in the mundane. We get in the routine of things. However, the just shall live by faith, meaning I need to wake up and this is how I roll. This is how I walk. This is how I talk. I need to be all about God. And God, I want to live by faith. Everything I do needs to be wrapped around you. I don't want it wrapped around me. I don't want it wrapped around my thoughts or my calls. God, I just want to live by faith. And as I do this, I'm staying focused on him. Because you know this, but just continue to live. You'll find out more and more as you see the day approaching. You're going to have so many things grab your attention. That's why Paul said, I wish you were like me. And if you're just single and stay focused on God, you'd be aight. Aight is a word in North Carolina. Remember, it's like yesterday, dad and dad and did. He did. Amen. So if you'll just mind the Lord, because right now, wow, singleness of heart, and I'm just focused on you, because life gets more complicated, doesn't get less complicated. Oh, yeah, I'm in love. I got to get married. Okay. get married. And you go get married, and, oh, we have to have children. Everybody has children. It's a good tax write-off. And we all have children. Oh, wonderful. Yes, have a bunch of them. I mean, get you a dozen and have that dirty dozen. It's great. I'm for it, man. But you know what? It gets more complicated. Because now I have one that takes and another one that takes. And dad, I told all my sons when they were growing up, and I said, fellas, if you'll marry right, I got your honeymoon. I'll pay for it. Well, promises you make to little ones are easy. Paying for them when they grow up. I mean, that sounded good when they were young. I mean, keep them, you know, just a little incentive, boys. Scotty, at the time, he's been married now for many years. As I said, he's got 3 children, but been married now for 3 years and has 3 children. And they need to read books. And so he was engaged to be married. It was a little while away from the wedding day, and as I try with all my sons, we'll take a ride, go get a coffee, just talk, still try to do it now and collectively, and we'll just sit down and have a great time anyway. Long story short, we're riding down the road. He said, hey, Pops. I said, yeah, what you got? He said, remember what you always told us about if we marry right? I said, yeah, you ought to marry right. He said, do you think I'm marrying right? I said, ain't no doubt about it. Allie's the best. I said, man, you did good. He said, okay. He said, now you told us if we marry right. And boy, it hit me. I had a flashback. And I'm driving the truck, and that F-150 almost went into a ditch. He said, you told us that you'd pay for the honeymoon. I did, didn't I? Son, only the Lord keeps his promises. I'm telling you, God is faithful, yeah. And I said, I sure did. And I said, have you ever been to Raleigh, North Carolina? Son, it is the capital of this beautiful state that we're in. And I said, no, what you got? What are you thinking? He said, well, Allie's always wanted to go to Italy. Like the country? He said, yep. I said, Lord have mercy. I said, all right, Italy it is. I may get you there, but you may not be able to get back. So they've been missionaries there for about 4 years. But I said, no, it's a joy, man. Can I tell you, you have a God that wants to take care of you, wants to feed you. We're going to walk through this text. He'll take care of it all. Blessed are they. Blessed means satisfied. It means to be secured. It means to be full of joy. The world says you're blessed when you're rich. The world says you're blessed when you're powerful. You're blessed when you're intelligent. You're blessed when you're comfortable in life. The world will focus on what a person has to mark them as blessed. God's commandments focus on what a man does. The Ten Commandments were given to help man with our outward actions. The New Testament, these Beatitudes are given to work on our heart. He started in Matthew 5:3 when he said, blessed are the poor in spirit. And that is why, again, as I said yesterday, we need to slow down and make sure we're reading every word. Because if you're not careful, you've been there, I've been there. I remember as a kid, everybody's reading their Bible through every year. I didn't know why we were doing it, just somebody was doing it, and they were getting awards. I wanted an award. I never got one in school, so I thought I'd get one now. So, man, we'd read the Bible through. And whether you read it through every year, every month, every day, I don't care. I just want you to get something out of it. Okay, when I go to the grocery store, I don't eat all the food in the grocery store. I get what I need. And as you read the Word of God, if you're not careful, we'll fly over some words because the Bible does not say, blessed are the poor. There's no blessings in being broke, y'all. It said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Poor in spirit does mean I'm broken. I need a Savior. And then when you realize your need for God, how you're bankrupt, then you go to verse 4 where he said, blessed are they that mourn. Mourning doesn't mean you're walking around like an Eeyore believer. It means you're mourning over your sin. I'm mourning over the sins of my city, the sins of my nation, the sins of my world, and I'm mourning over that. Then he said, you step up to blessed are the meek. Meekness means I have strength. I like that horse that can run, but it's willing to allow the cowboy to put the saddle on. It's willing to allow that rein and that bit. And he's willing, and as a believer, we ought to be meek and say, God, you do with me whatever you want to do with me. I'll go anywhere you want me to go. You want me on the mission field tomorrow, I'm headed that way. You want me over here, I'm over there. It does not matter to me. I do not care where God takes me. I just want to make sure it's God. Because if he's there, that's all that matters. If we are hungry, and to create a hunger in us for something we both desperately need and we cannot live without, believers, it's righteousness. We need men of God that are holy men of God. We need ladies of God that are holy ladies of God. If we are truly hungry and thirsty after righteousness, according to this verse, we shall be filled. When we're filled, isn't that a satisfying feeling? My favorite holiday is Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving. I don't have to buy a present for anybody. I'm about to become a Jehovah's Witness in the month of December, y'all. Amen. I'm telling you. And then I'll come back in January. Amen. Food and football. That's the whole day. We wake up in the morning. We have a tradition. We go play a round of golf, try to see who can win that. Then we play football with everybody. And then we eat. And when you have so much food on the table that you can't even sit at the table, that's a good meal. I mean, my wife's already working now for that day. I'm loving it. You fill up the plate, you eat, you go back, you eat, you go back, you eat, and you're laying in that lazy boy, and it's the same routine. It's like, Oh, what was I thinking? And the favorite dessert in the world, cherry pie. Take a slice of it, put it in the microwave for 13 seconds, no more, no less. And if you don't believe me, try it. 13 seconds, and then take you a scoop of vanilla ice cream, has to be Blue Bell, and pop it on there. And you can't just lay it, you gotta like that. And it'll hit just right, and all of a sudden it starts melting. Oh my. And my wife will say, hey, honey, you want a bite of that? Yes, no. I mean, I ate so much. Yes, right there. It's the best. There is not a greater feeling than to be filled. But we are told here that if we'll hunger and thirst after righteousness, and according to 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness. Jesus is our righteousness. So when we are hungry and when we are thirsting after righteousness, we are hungry and we are thirsting after Christ. But we must get pride out of our life and allow humility to come in so we can say, Lord, I need you. Many learn to live, as I said, we do good on special occasions. But Romans 12:2 reminds us, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Those in Bible days, as Christ was telling this to those that were there, when he took the 12 aside, there was a crowd there, but then he took the 12 aside. He said, fellas, I'm going to teach you some things. You need to learn how to be poor in spirit. You need to learn, understand this and understand that. When he said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they knew what it meant to truly be hungry. They knew what it meant right there. We waste so much food. Come on, let's just be honest, don't we? No one here is dying of thirst. No one here right now is like, I'm about to pass out. What's wrong? I've not had a drink of water. I don't know how long. If that's the case, it's your own fault. I mean, good night. There's water fountains on every other corner. Okay? We are very spoiled in our culture. And don't get me wrong, I'm very thankful for my culture. Amen. I love old-fashioned. I bless God. Amen. But I'm glad I can walk in a room and flip a switch and the heat comes on. I'm not so old-fashioned I'm going to go chop wood to heat up this room. I don't chop wood. I buy a log at Walmart that you ignite it, and it goes, man. Amen. I can say, honey, look at the fire I started you. I'm your man. Amen. But we have so much, and no one can deny hunger and thirst for very long. And Psalm 42:1 reminds us, as the heart panteth after the water brooks. When's the last time that you walked to your Bible? God, you're so good. If this ground could speak, and you hear the names often, but the Rick Martins, the Kevin Wynns, the Bob Gray Seniors, those men and ladies as well, that since 1972 have walked these grounds and said, I don't think you can ever do anything with me because I am not worthy, but I just want to get to know you. And no one knew they were out there, like some of y'all this week. No one knew you were there, and you're not doing it for a show. I just want to get a hold of God. I just need you. God, I cannot get behind there. This is not where it's at. That's where it's at. Oh, God, I need you. And to have that heart, to have that panting after the water brooks. There is no limit of how much of the Word of God that you are allowed and you're able to get. It doesn't stop. You don't read the Bible and all of a sudden it turns itself off. Sorry, your chapters are through. Oh. And then tomorrow morning, oh yeah, I get second chapter. And then it powers down. No. Can I get another one? I'm sorry, you've already read too much. There's no limit. There is no limit on prayer where God says, I'm done with you. Okay, who's next? No, there's no limit. And however much righteousness you want from the Lord, you can have. I would encourage us all to take all that we can. You can never have enough. The more you eat the Word of God, the more you'll get hungry for the Word of God. Let me give some thoughts here quickly. Number one, desire Jesus preeminently. How can we enjoy the fullness of hunger? Number one, desire Jesus preeminently. Jesus is to be the first, and Jesus is to be the last. Every morning, let him be the first in your life. All throughout the day, we're told in Deuteronomy, walk with your family, walk with your children, and teach about him. Every evening, turn off the television, turn off the radio, turn off the music, and just get some time with God and thank him for the good day and tell him good night. Let him know you love him. And God, I'll see you in the morning. Lord, thank you. I'm only getting about 3 hours sleep tonight. Could you stretch that into eight? And I don't mean to oversleep. I need to wake up and refreshed and ready to go. How many times we don't ask God for the help that we need, but it will hunger and will thirst, desire Jesus preeminently. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Oh, everybody wants to be blessed, but they don't want to have righteousness. But without righteousness, you'll have no satisfaction. You'll have no happiness. You'll have no joy. We don't need satisfaction. We don't need happiness. What we need is a little more Jesus. Being blessed, being satisfied, being happy, that's a byproduct of having Jesus. When I have him, woo. You say, Pastor, you don't have any bad days? Are you kidding me? Today's not a good day. But you know what? The more you're with him, the more I know he's already got it figured out. Even though I can't figure it out, and even though I have no idea what's going on, and your ways are not my ways, your thoughts are not my thoughts, I really could use some of your wisdom right now. And he says, I give it to people liberally. And I love the wording, and upbraideth not. Being a father of kids, how many times? What? Dad, can I? What do you think I am, an ATM machine? Y'all heard that. Like you're working on your statement when you call home this afternoon. Amen. Father, this is your favorite son or your favorite daughter. I love you. And what do you want? Anytime my middle son calls me, I won't say Philip, but anytime he calls me, I answer the phone with, what's wrong? The boy can't drive, y'all. And what's wrong? What'd you hit? What's going on? You go to God. Sorry, Phil, if you ever hear this. You go to God. I need some wisdom. He'll never look at you and go, didn't I give you some yesterday? What'd you do with that? He's not like me. Thank God God's holy. What'd you do with the wisdom I gave you? No. Let's desire him. You go after him. When we receive Christ, when we get the Lord, it's one, you're getting all the Holy Spirit that you can get. He in Romans 8, if you don't have him, you're none of his. And so you get the Holy Spirit, but do we yield ourselves to him? Jesus is all we'll ever need in our lives. And I want to encourage us to desire Jesus preeminently. But may I also say this, and I need to hasten, but 2 Timothy 1:12 says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know him. Oh, God's all that we need. Revelation 1:8, I am Alpha, the first letter of the alphabet, and Omega, the last word of that Greek alphabet. He said, I'm the beginning and the end, and I'm everything in between. Everything you need, everything I need is found in Jesus Christ. Number two, we ought to seek him passionately. Seek him passionately. The word passionately means driven by intense feeling with enthusiasm. Jenny and I have been married 29 years, and I still like hanging out with her. I know she may get embarrassed by me sometimes, and I get it. But man, she's the best. I'd rather walk around with her than anybody. I'd rather hang out with her than anyone. And I seek her passionately. We ought to seek God the same way. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst. You know, a hungry person will be deliberate. There's something, when you get that appetite, when all of a sudden you're hungry, you'll be on a quest. You're going after it. And you'll even eat some things that you normally wouldn't eat. My people know there's just some things I'm not eating. And you can place it in front of me all you want to, but I ain't eating it. Amen. There's this thing called a casserole. I don't know who made up that word. I can't even spell it. All that meant growing up was mama ran out of groceries. She took what was left in the cupboard, put it in a big pan, and called it casserole. Y'all know what I'm talking about, okay? And so I told my wife, we got married, I said, listen, babe, you can make one, but you better name it something else or I'm not eating it. And so she'll, here's a chicken dish. And it's like, I know what that's code for, but I'm going to eat it. Amen. Coconut, I don't eat it. Oh, it's like picking the lice out of some. I've never done that either, but oh, I'm not eating it. Dr. Pepper, I don't drink it. Mm-mm. Mountain Dew. Anybody with me? And when you hit 50, it's Diet Mountain Dew. Amen. But when I'm hungry, I'll even look at a coconut cream pie and go, I wonder if it's changed its taste. Because a hungry person, you'll be deliberate. A hungry person will be determined. I'm going to eat. I'm going to find something. A hungry person will eventually become desperate. You go long enough without food, I need to eat. That is why, don't get mad at me, y'all, pray for me. But that's why many times it takes a teen camp. It takes a week of being at a place where you can't get service anyway. And kids are dying. Oh. We take our kids to school camp every year. We just pass out remotes with no batteries. And they all sit in front of the wall. It's like, oh, you know, hey, it's like a soothing mechanism. Amen. But you can't get, and then you get preaching and activity and preaching activity, preach activity, prayer time. And then all of a sudden by Thursday night, man, you're like, God, what do you want? Because you're starting to get hungry. You know, we could live that way. To be hungry, you become desperate. I want to say this, finally, enjoy Jesus perpetually. The great thing about reading the Word of God and the great thing about loving our Lord is this. The more you eat, the more you'll want. You will never, like me on Thanksgiving, saying, oh, I'll never eat again. You ever say that? You ever had that feeling? And even though it's food you love, I can't. I ate too much, if that's even possible. Oh, I can't. We're fixing to have our homecoming Sunday next month. And I always tell the church family, bring a meal for you and a meal for another family. You know, we're looking to feed about 1,300 and come on in. We'll just have a good time. And there's times you just eat, go, oh, you want some more? I can't. Can I tell you, the more you eat of this, you'll never go, you'll say, man, my heart's burning, but it's a good one. Can I have some more? Have all you want. And you get right back in it and start all over. And keep eating and keep eating. And you can enjoy Jesus perpetually. We have all of God we want. If you desire Him, He's there to fulfill your need. I watch college students for many years as they come in and they're hungry, but all of a sudden they start eating on other things and they start nibbling on other things. And you'll only lose your appetite when you're sick. So be careful what we allow into our lives to make us sick. You want something to eat? No. What's wrong? That's the first question I'll ask. You all right? I'm not feeling very well. And every counseling session I have starts with, how's your time with God? Many times. And I ask them that very privately, not to put them on the spot, but just to get them back with the Lord. And many times I've even said, look, I'm going to step out of the office for about 10 minutes. Why don't you and God get together? And I'll be right back. I've walked in to see grown men finally on their knees, tears falling. I said, y'all keep talking. I'd rather you talk to him than me. Because I ain't got that answer, but he does. Oh, let me tell you something, men and ladies of God, seek Jesus. Enjoy Jesus. We can be satisfied continually. We had a men's outing a couple months ago, and we grilled 150 ribeyes. We nothing, a good man in our church. He's phenomenal at it. 150 ribeyes. I mean, that's a lot of steaks. And man, those men, we had a good time. We had all kinds of activities. Axe throwing. Have y'all ever done that? I mean, North Carolina, you throw it at each other. Like, no, I'm just kidding. Real men. But no, they had an activity there all outside. And then we ate well. And then we got in there. Man, started getting into the Word. And there's nothing like when you realize that was a good meal. The ladies helped prepare some baked potatoes. Man, they were just right. Nothing like eating a baked potato that tastes like that pulpit. It was just right. I mean, like it's moving when you cut it. I mean, you don't even need a knife. You're like hitting it with a fork going, woo. But there's nothing like when you forget about that, because all of a sudden that, Oh, if you'll just enjoy him and you can continue to enjoy him, we can be satisfied completely, not only continually, but completely. I don't need anyone else but Jesus. He completely satisfies all. And I'm so thankful. Psalms 107 verse 9 says, "For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." 1 Peter 2, 3 says, "If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Psalm 34, 8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." I'm so thankful for Jesus. I'm so thankful for the Son of God. There's nobody else I want. There's nobody else I need. And I'm telling you, every man and woman of God sitting in here today, as you're going through your ministry now, as you're preparing to go into another ministry tomorrow, I want to encourage you with this. Get all the Jesus you can, because all through the scripture, he's the Alpha, he's the Omega, he's the Adam, he's the Advocate, he's the Begotten, he's the Beloved. And throughout every book you find Jesus Christ. In Genesis, he's the promised seed. In Exodus, he's a Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he's a scapegoat. In Numbers, he's the brazen serpent. In Deuteronomy, he's the great lawgiver. In Joshua, he's the prophet, priest, and king. In Judges, he's a judge of all the universe. In Ruth, he's my kinsman redeemer. In Samuel, he's the anointed of kings. In Kings, he's the king of kings and lord of lords. In Chronicles, he's the great historian. In Ezra, he's the rebuilder of the temple. In Nehemiah, he's the rebuilder of the wall. In Esther, he's the Savior of the Jewish people, but in Job, he's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. In Psalms, he's a song of the ages, and in Proverbs, he is the truth. In Ecclesiastes, he's the great preacher. In Song of Solomon, he is the wonderful lover. In Isaiah, he's the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. In Jeremiah, he's that weeping prophet, and in Lamentation, he's the street preacher. In Ezekiel, he's a rebuilder of the millennial temple. In Daniel, he's a stone cut out without hands. In Hosea, he's the hurt but forgiven lover. In the minor prophets, he's the one in Bethlehem. In Matthew, he's the coming king. In Mark, he's the suffering servant. In Luke, he's the Son of God. In John, in Luke, he's the Son of Man. In John, he's the Son of God. In Acts, he's the power of the church. And in Romans, he's a dynamite of the gospel. In Corinthians, he's a restorer of the carnal nature. In Galatians, he's the rent veil. In Ephesians, he's the heavenly one. In Philippians, he's our sufficiency. In Colossians, he's a great shadow coming in body. In Thessalonians, he's our coming king. In Timothy, he's our great appearing God. In Titus, he's our blessed hope. In Hebrews, he's the best of all. In James, he's the fulfiller of the law. Peter, he's the rock of ages. John, he's the assurance of my salvation. In Jude, he's the one that's able to keep me from falling and present me faultless and exceeding joy. In Revelation, he's that one on the white horse that's mounted up and coming back. Can I tell you? He's all I want. And he's all I need. Father, I thank you so much for today. And I thank you for who you are and for what you do. And God, I pray, if there is a man of God in this room right now that's thinking about leaving the will of God, would you put your big old arms around him? Would you love on him? If there's a young lady of God right now that's trying to decide, what should I do? God, would you let her know she's loved? She's not forsaken. Lord, if there is sin in our lives, may we take care of it. But Lord, I know even the strong struggle. And so, Father, I pray that you'd help us to get so hungry that we'll get full, knowing that we can keep eating. I love you, Lord. Bless these, your leaders. In your name I pray.